I'd like you to turn back with me to Joshua chapter 14 this morning, really homing in verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. We've entitled our message, A Consecrated Life. With the Word of God open before us, just let's seek the Lord, please. We needed help in the preaching of His Word. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. Lord, how we must confess it is sometimes easier to sing the hymns than it is to put them into practice. Lord, we sang this morning, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. We pray, Lord, that we might mean it from the heart. We pray that Thou might forgive us, Lord, for those times that we have in holy. Follow Thy precept, Thy word. We ask, Lord, Thou might challenge us even afresh this morning. Lord, Thou would bless us today in Thy house, that we might go away saying, the Lord spoke to my heart. To that end, I pray for the moving of Thy Holy Spirit. Even, O Lord, it is a message directed more so to God's people. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art not confined. Thou can speak to the unsaved. We pray, Lord, that Thou would do it. Lord, I pray for the infilling of Thy Spirit that I might preach as thus. Thus saith the Lord. Give me words that must, shall prevail. Give us prevailing words. We pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Was in the city of Dublin that the then unknown D.L. Moody was to sit under the counsel of a man by the name of Henry Varley. It was during that evening that he said those words that struck a chord in the heart of Moody. He said, the world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by a man who is holy, fully and wholly consecrated to Him. And Moody had to respond later by saying that when he made his way home to America, it seemed that every board in that ship was to re-echo those words back to him. When he went back to the city of Chicago, every pavement stone seemed to remind him of those very words. Moody said, by the grace of God, I will be that man. The rest, of course, what follows is history. For an unlearned, uneducated man, a man who worked in a cobbler's shop, was to be an instrument in God's hand. And he was to be mightily used in the salvation of countless numbers of souls. As to the accuracy of Varley's statement, I'm not so sure. I say that because when I come to Joshua chapter 14, we are brought to consider one man who also was given entirely over to God. The tribe of Judah was the largest tribe, the most prominent tribe. And it is Judah who was to have allotted to them their inheritance first of all. It was Judah which was brought into disrepute by the man called Achan, the man who took of that forbidden stuff and was to hide it in his tent, the accursed thing. But what a contrast when we consider the man whom we're introduced to in Joshua 14, the man called Caleb. His name comes from a strange root that means dog. It is not in an unkind sense. For while he would have had a dog's life in the land of Egypt, like the rest of Israel would have had under the affliction and under the bondage of their taskmasters, by the blood of the Passover lamb, Caleb had experienced deliverance. And consequently, he was to be one of the best dogs that ever followed his master. If you ever had a good dog, you'll know that it is the one that follows the master. It obeys its every command. Caleb was such a man. By the occasion that we find him in Joshua 14, he's an old man. He's reached the grand old age of 85 years of age. But lest you would think that he's ready to retire and sit back and take things easy, you would be gravely mistaken. He doesn't approach Joshua and ask for a nice, comfortable old people's home. He doesn't ask for servants that might attend his every need. His life of consecration is a challenge to every one of us. For his request at 85 years of age to Joshua was, "Give me this mountain." And I want you to consider with me this morning, in Caleb, a consecrated life. I want you to see, first of all, his consistency. As we trace the life of Caleb through these verses, we begin to see that he was consistent in all that he did. At the age of 40, he was brought out of Egypt. He was one of those who were chosen to go in to the land of Canaan as one of the spies when they came to that place called Kadesh Barnea. And Caleb has a vivid remembrance of that day. Verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Watch this. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. And I want you to notice that he was consistent in his word and he was consistent in his witness. These words inevitably take us back to Numbers 13. To that passage where the spies are sent out and after their six-week tour of Judah of Canaan, they were to come back and they were to give their report. There were those who gave the majority report. Yes, the land was full of milk and honey. It was a good land. But of course they also went on to speak of the cities, and the cities were walled, and the people were strong, and then there also was the sons of Anak. There were the giants in the land. Now Caleb saw exactly the same things as those other spies did, those other 10. But his report was consistent, because you read in Numbers 13 and verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" He didn't see the problems. He saw the power of God. He didn't see great giants and a little God. He saw a great God and little giants. Along with Joshua, they exhorted the nation of Israel that they would go in and they would be well able to overcome. Numbers 14 verse 8, "If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." What a faithful report that was. His word and his witness was faithful and it was true. If the rest of the spies were going to cause the hearts of the people to melt within them, then he wouldn't. If the rest were full of unbelief, then Caleb wasn't. He believed the Lord. I wonder, do others know us to be consistent in our word and in our witness? What we profess to be, does it match up to what our walk is? What our nation is crying out for is honesty and integrity. Whether it be among those who are in the highest of authority or whether it be among the ordinary people. And for those who profess faith in Christ, it's not an optional extra to be honest and to be consistent in our witness. It is what God demands from each one of us. But I want you to see with Caleb that he was consistent also in the wilderness. The nation of Israel turned back, of course, you know, from entering into the land. They were just but days from reaching Canaan at Kadesh Barnea. But because of their unbelief, they turned back. They listened to the majority report. What followed was a generation of wandering in the wilderness. Every day that the spies spied out the land, it would equate to the number of years that they would spend in the wilderness. And for Caleb, that would mean barrenness, that would mean dearth, that would mean death all around him. He could have had a spirit of bitterness. He could have pointed the finger at the other people, at the other spies and at the nation, and reminded them that this is your problem, this is your fault for bringing us in here. He could have been like the others who murmured against Aaron and Moses and ultimately against the Lord. But for Caleb, while he was in the wilderness, he wasn't of it. We never read of him engaging in behavior that brought forth the wrath or the chastening hand of God upon him. We never read of his desire to go back again to the land of Egypt. Caleb was consistent even in the wilderness experience. And dear child of God, the grace of God is able to help you and to help me maintain a consecrated life even in an evil and adulterous generation in which we live in. Some people maybe would say, you know, there's never been such a day, a wicked day as we live in. I know where they're coming from, but it's not true. You've only got to think of the day of Noah. And Noah's day was a wicked day. Every imagination of the hearts of men was evil continually. What we read of Noah, that he was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He stood out from the rest. You can think of Daniel in his captivity in the land of Babylon. If the rest were going to get drunk, if the rest were going to live immorally, just like the rest of the people did in Babylon, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. It takes courage to stand out from the crowd, young person, older man and woman. But never forget what the Lord said. He says, they that honor me, I will honor. Never be afraid to stand up for the truth and for the rights of King Jesus in this world. By God's grace, be consistent, even in the midst of what spiritually is a wilderness of sin. Caleb was consistent in the wilderness. There's one other thing. I want you to note that for Caleb, he had a consistent walk. That which is prominent in these verses, in these words, indeed wherever you read of the name of Caleb, it usually is appended with these words, a man who wholly followed the Lord. When he thought upon the report of the spies, his own testimony was different from the rest. Look at verse 8. I beg your pardon. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. He wholly followed the Lord. That was his testimony. I wonder, child of God, can you say that this morning? But you know, it's always better if someone else has been able to say it about us. And that was the case with the testimony of Moses about Caleb. Verse 9, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses was a man of discernment. And as the leader of the people and as God's man, he saw in Caleb a man who had wholly followed the Lord. Wonder, child of God, do others see a difference in us? Could they testify that we are one who wholly follows the Lord, the precepts of His Word? The best testimony of all, of course, is what God says about us. If you turn back again to Numbers chapter 14, in the words of verse 24. And here you have the testimony of what God said about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto we went, and his seed shall possess it. God knew him to be a man who wholly followed him. God who sees all things, who knows the heart of every one of us. Does he see in us a man or a woman or a young person who is following him fully? Young person, you who have made a profession in your early days of getting saved, let me ask you, are you wholly following the Lord? Are you even following the Lord today? Whatever we do we do it with all our heart? You may do it to the glory of God. I think it was Moody who said this. Some people have just enough religion to keep them miserable. That wasn't how it was with Caleb. His walk was one which was consistent of wholly following the Lord. Let me show you something else about him. Let me show you his confidence. It's now 45 years later on, from that time when he spied out the land, Caleb now makes his approach unto Joshua for the part of his inheritance. The wilderness hadn't deflected him from following the Lord. The world hadn't got in him a soul. It hadn't caused him to be discouraged and just peter out his remaining days going through the motions. No, Caleb was intent at 85 years of age of taking new ground for God. It wasn't just any old ground. He steps forward and he says to Joshua, "Give me this mountain." Why, we will consider the mountain in just a moment or two. I want you to see that he's able to boldly state those words because his confidence wasn't in the flesh. His confidence wasn't even in men. But his confidence was found in God. He was confident of God's promises. You notice the words there of verse 12. He says, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake." In that day, Caleb remembered the promise of the Lord back then. He was conscious that the Lord God would also remember it. You turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, you have Moses speaking about this. You'll notice the manner in which he does so. Deuteronomy 1 verse 34, "And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, see if Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." While those who had provoked the Lord, while those who had murmured against him, would not enter into the land, they would not see it, the promise was that Caleb, he would be brought into the land and his seed would possess it. And Caleb believed the Lord God would not go back on his promises. Caleb was confident that the Lord would keep his word. His confidence was based on God's promises. You see it throughout these verses. The same truth is spoken about verse 6. "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses." Verse 10, and he's saying there, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses." Dear child of God, if we're going to press forward in our Christian walk, if we're going to have that different spirit from the world and even a different spirit from many within Christendom, then our confidence needs to be unshakably upon God's word, upon God's promises. If God has promised us something like he did to Caleb, then it behoves us to bring it and to boldly present it before God. He was one who had confidence in God's promises. Look again at verse 12. His confidence was upon God's presence. He's a man of 85. He understands the task that lies to his hand. And he's one who has no confidence in the flesh, for he says at the end of the verse, "If so be, the Lord will be with me." He, as much was saying, he was depending upon having the presence of God with him as he sought to take that mountain as his possession. Without the presence of the Lord, and he, like Moses, would not want to be carried up hence, was the presence of God that he had known throughout the wilderness experience. His presence has been with him. His presence had been his portion. And it kept him alive these many years. And it would be God's presence that he would need if he was ever to claim his inheritance and this possession. I don't know whether our young people know what the middle verse of the entire Scriptures is. A good quiz question. Well, I'm going to give you the answer now, because it's a good verse. Psalm 118 and verse 8. Good to memorize. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Failure to take heed to that truth has been where many have fallen in their walk with God. Wonder is the presence of God, that which is absolutely necessary to you in everything that you seek to do in life. Not matter what men stand with you, but is God's presence with you? If you can't count in the presence of God when you do something, then it's maybe a good indicator that you're on the wrong path. If you can't count in God's presence when with you, young person, older man and woman, it's a good indicator that you're in the wrong place. See also, Caleb's confidence was in God's power. Caleb had no might of his own to take the inheritance. But with the power of God, he was confident that he would be able to. He says in verse 12, "For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. As the Lord said." He had that unshakable conviction that the power of God would be sufficient to meet his every need in the taking of his inheritance. If he would have known the words, no doubt, he would have used them, he would have repeated them. If God be for us, then who can be against us? It didn't matter who had to be faced. With the power of God, he was confident that he would be victorious and he would be in the victor's side. I wonder, is that the sort of confidence that we have as we set ourselves to continue to pray, as we set ourselves to continue to labor for the special effort in the gospel? And as we look a little bit further into the winter's months, is that the confidence that we have? A faith and a confidence that measures the might of the enemy against the omnipotent power of Almighty God. The power of God that Caleb could speak of at Kadesh Barnea when he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Was the same God in whom his confidence was placed when he considered his inheritance. His power had not diminished one iota with the passing of years. Men and women, listen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What confidence have we to take new ground? What confidence have we to overcome the enemies of the gospel, to see advancements made in the work of God in this place? What confidence have we to witness the outpouring of His Spirit in the conviction of sin and in the conversion of precious souls? Aye, in revival blessing. What confidence have we to see the false religionists subdued and reeled back? It must be in the promises, in the presence, and in the power of an unchangeable God. Is that where your confidence is this morning? That's where Caleb's confidence was. And that leads me on to show you his claim. With an unwavering confidence, with an unrelenting passion for one portion of the land of Canaan that his eye had seen 45 years earlier, he steps forward and he says, "Give me this mountain." As he did so, he was under no disillusionment. He understood that for the mountain to be claimed, there would be the conflict. Words of verse 12 of our text speak of how the Anakims were there, the giants were still there. The mountain was occupied by the giants that they spied out when they first crossed over into that land. And if ever that mountain was to be Caleb's, then he knew that there had to be a battle that had to be faced. But nevertheless, he still said, "Give me this mountain." His great passion was that which God gave him for this place when he first saw it. And it didn't matter how much of a stronghold it was. It didn't matter how many giants guarded it. Caleb had a heart for the battle, and Caleb was prepared for the conflict, even though he was now 85 years of age. And it ought to be for every one of God's people. Seek to go forward living a consecrated life and take ground for God. And you can be sure, man or woman, young person, that you will know the attack of the enemy. There will be the giants that will have to be overcome. The giants of unbelief. The giant of fear. The giant of sin and compromise. But like Caleb, are we prepared do battle against them? You'll understand, you see, that Caleb was to conquer it. And this mountain, he was to claim it as his own. And I want to tell you that by the power of God, Caleb's victory was a complete victory. That was something that the other tribes never managed to accomplish. Not this morning, but if you take time to read Judges chapter 1, you'll often see there of mentioning the tribes that they didn't drive out some of the inhabitants of the land. But look at Joshua 15 in contrast, verse 13. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Shishai and Ahamin and Talmai, the children of Anak. What's that tell you? It tells you there was no compromise. It tells you there's no compromise on the part of sharing the Lord's inheritance with the enemy. He laid claim to it on the basis of God's word, and he conquered it. With the half-hearted follower, there will be a faint heart. But Caleb is holy-hearted, and he was to conquer it in the strength and the power of his God. What does the New Testament say about the people of God? They in all these things were more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in and because of Christ that we can go forth conquering and to conquer. Thank God we're on the victory side this morning. All because of Christ. And you'll see that Caleb was to lay claim to a place which meant communion. Hebron has a meaning of fellowship and communion. It was a place where Abraham had pitched his tent, where God met with Abraham face to face and had given him the promise of the land. Now Caleb desired, and he laid claim to this place where he would live on the mount of fellowship, on the mount of fruitfulness, on the mount of communion with his God. Is that not the place where we all need to seek? The Lord would have us to dwell in fellowship. Fellows in the same boat. In the same ship. The Lord would have you, child of God, to dwell in communion and fruitfulness with Him. And to be in that place, we soon realize that it is strongly guarded by the devil's crowd. Well, that's the last place the devil wants God's people to be found on. The devil doesn't want God's people to dwell in fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. The devil doesn't want you to have fellowship with the Lord and communion with the Lord every day. He will keep you from that place. At all costs, he will seek to prevent you from ascending that mount. And it may mean he'll seek to tempt you away by bartering with you for other portions, even the valley below, even the milk and honey. The allurements of the devil will be popularity, prestige, instead of fellowship. Of getting on in the world at the expense of communion with God, of prosperity instead of spiritual fruitfulness. For Caleb, none of those things mattered. For in Hebron he saw the place of the greatest blessing. And regardless of what it would cost, he pressed on until it was his. His is a consecrated life. Is it your prayer, child of God, that you would press on? Gain new heights with God? Gain new ground? Now, I'm preaching to someone this morning, and you're not in that fellowship with the Lord because you're still unsaved. It is to another mount that I point you to. It is to Mount Calvary. It is to Calvary that you must get to. For there, I point you to the one who was to conquer Satan and who was to obtain an eternal refuge for your soul by the shedding of his own precious blood. And he was to take on the archenemy in his own. That one is Christ. It was at the cross that he crushed the head of the devil. He was to be victorious. As there he wrought out the work of our redemption. As there he was to pay the price for sin that he might redeem a people from the grasp of the devil and from the devil's kingdom and to bring them from power of Satan unto God. I wonder this morning, will you by faith? Because I'm conscious you know this in your head. Do you know the gospel? But for many of you, it has never reached the heart. It has never been mixed with faith. I wonder this morning, by faith, will you lay claim to God's wonderful salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Leave this house. Sinner saved by God's grace, at peace with God, and at fellowship with Him. May God help you. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts this morning for His own name's sake. Amen. 465, we'll sing in closing, please. 465, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's stand as we sing this. thank Thee for Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that we might have consecrated lives unto Thee. Lives that are set apart. Lives that abstain from sin and from that which defiles. We thank Thee for the example that Caleb is to our hearts this morning. God, we pray that we might have that consistent walk. We might, Lord, lay claim to new ground for Thee in these days, new heights with the Lord, new ground taken for God in this district. O God, answer prayer, do it for us. Bless those that are still without Christ, no fellowship with Him. We pray even this morning, now it's Lord, lift the scales from off their eyes. They would be brought by faith to Mount Calvary, to the foot of the old rugged cross. Lay claim to God's wonderful salvation by faith. Speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Part us in Thy fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless again the rest of the day. We ask these things in our Savior's precious name.